What does the writer of Hebrews mean when he talks about a better enduring possession? That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. This is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I'm really glad that you've tuned in. We're continuing in our series called Hebrews, Partners with Christ, and we're blessed to have the author of a book by the same name, Dr. Kenneth Yates. Let's jump right into today's topic. Here's our Grace in Focus discussion.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here with Ken Yates going through the book of Romans. We're in chapter 10.
I think 10. We're in Hebrews today, but
Oh, man. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. So remind us, Ken, the author of Hebrews just gave us a pretty devastating, pretty scary warning.
Yes, Hebrews 10, 26 through 31 is perhaps the sternest warning addressed to believers anywhere in the New Testament. And he's talking about the sin of apostasy and that the Christian who commits that particular sin will place himself under the discipline of God and that judgment is coming.
But not going to hell, though.
No, absolutely not going to hell, as the author of Hebrews makes clear throughout the book.
In fact, he compares it to being killed under the Mosaic law, physically killed.
Right.
That's the level he's thinking of.
And what he does, as he always does in these warning passages, he ends on an encouraging note, which is good because that one in verses 26 through 31 is very, very strong. But even here, he encourages his reader.
Verse 32, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. So that tells us, one, that these are believers.
Yes, and not only are they believers, but in the past, at least, they've been faithful believers. They've suffered for the Lord. They were enlightened, and that's in the past tense. And we remember in chapter 6 that is a description of believers, those who have been enlightened.
It's the same Greek word?
Same Greek word, yes.
Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. So everyone was making fun of them.
Yes, and that's a great Greek word there, spectacle. We get our word theater from it. The author is saying you were placed before the world to be mocked because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So once again, we see these were faithful followers of Christ in the past.
And partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Well, that's interesting. So the author was in chains. Now, that certainly sounds like Paul. Paul often talked about his chains, but I suppose a lot of Christians experience that.
Sure. Whoever the author was, again, if it had been Barnabas, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Barnabas was imprisoned for his faith sometime in the first century.
Some of the suffering that these people experienced was the plundering of their goods. So people were stealing their stuff?
Well, if I'm understanding the background, if Christianity was an illegal religion where these people were living, then yes, they could have lost property as a result of being criminals. The state could have come in and confiscated it, or something similar to that is probably what the author has in mind. So you can see, again, why these people might be tempted to reject Christianity publicly and to go back to Judaism.
And I love that the encouragement here is, listen, you got your earthly goods plundered. But what did they know? Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. So here's this rewards concept again, inheritance concept.
Great point, Sean. That is exactly what the author is saying. What he is saying is the loss of whatever this world has to give us does not compare to the rewards that we will get if we are faithful to the Lord.
Now you can see how people who think this is all about how we get into heaven, how we get into the kingdom, you can see how they would say, but isn't it worth giving up anything and everything so you can make sure that you spend eternity with the Lord? And the thing they don't seem to understand is that totally contradicts by grace you've been saved through faith. That totally contradicts whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. They end up contradicting everything the apostle said, everything the Lord Jesus said about what we need to do to have everlasting life. in their effort to somehow misinterpret all these passages.
Yes, there's got to be an awful big disconnect for me to come to these verses and say, well, the author is talking about how to go to heaven, and heaven is completely free, and it's a gift. But in order to get it, I must be put on public display. I must suffer the loss of my possessions. I must be involved in prison or sharing with those who are in prison. There's no way I can twist that to make it something that is by grace as a free gift.
All right, guys, I'm going to play a defense attorney for the people you're just rejecting.
All right.
One of the things we've said all throughout this series is that salvation in Hebrews is something that you have to get by enduring and giving up and suffering and all those things. So in some sense, even we would say salvation, I'm putting quotes over that, it's not by faith, by grace, apart from works, in Hebrews.
That's exactly right. The salvation in Hebrews is a deliverance. The word salvation basically means deliverance, both in Greek and in English, is a deliverance through your trials and through your enemies and reigning with Christ. That is not free. That involves faithfully following the Lord. But even then, it's based upon God's grace in a sense that because we have everything we need, not in our own power, but in our great high priest, Jesus Christ, which is a major theme in the book of Hebrews.
And I think the strength of our position is that we are what the King James would call rightly dividing the word. There is a salvation that is free by grace apart from works. But then you can also use salvation in a different sense that is by enduring and suffering.
Yes.
And if you don't divide those two things, you usually just get a really mangled salvation, and by grace through faith always suffers. That always falls out of the picture. It always becomes all of salvation is by works. Well, verse 35, he talks more about rewards. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward.
Yeah, and that word confidence is the word boldness, a key word in 1 John 2:28. My little children, abide in him, so when it appears we may have same word, parousia, boldness, confidence.
And the word for reward here is something that you receive a payment for. And so there's a promise here that if we are faithful to the Lord, he will pay us. And obviously that's not talking about eternal life, because that is completely free. Even people who try to make this talking about people who only claim to be believers, usually they will admit that salvation is completely free. Well, if salvation from hell is completely free, the author of Hebrews cannot be talking about that, because he's talking about something for which you will receive payment from the Lord, a reward.
Verse 36, for you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So this promise is conditioned on endurance.
Well, we talked about that before, earlier in the book, that throughout Hebrews, the promise is being Christ's partners, right?
His absolutely.
Co-heirs.
Yes. Right.
He quotes from the Old Testament, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So first thing to notice, there's two options here. There's not three options, there's two options. The just shall live by faith, or you can draw back. But there's some question about what this quote means.
Right. One thing we could say is the Greek word order is actually the just by faith shall live. Now, you don't have to go by the word order in the Greek, but if you went by the Greek word order, it would be the just by faith shall live. And if you go to Habakkuk, that does seem to be what that's referring to in Habakkuk, that the person who is righteous by faith should live or shall live. That is, he's called to live. It's not a guarantee that he will, obviously, in this warning section, but it's a call to it.
Yeah, and I think that what we see here is in verse 38, the believer has two options. He's not talking about two people here, one who is righteous and the one who withdraws. There's only one. If he, the one who is righteous, draws back. So we're not talking about two people. The believer has a choice. The righteous one can live by faith or should live by faith in these promises that are coming, or he can withdraw. But if he withdraws, it says in verse 38, God says, my soul will not be pleased with him. And this brings up another issue. A lot of people say, well, if you're a child of God, God's always pleased with you. as we've seen throughout this series, that's not the case. If you withdraw, particularly if you commit the sin of apostasy, the Lord is not going to be pleased with you. In fact, he's going to be very angry with you, and he's going to discipline you.
So how do you explain that? Because one of the things we've said in previous episodes is he puts such an emphasis on people being sanctified. But you're sanctified, but he's not pleased with you?
Yes, positionally, we're sanctified by the offering, the sacrifice of Christ once for all. But the way we live either brings God's approval in our lives or disapproval upon our lives. And that is the issue that he's dealing with here.
One quick point. There's three kinds of sanctification in the New Testament. In Hebrews, it's a past tense, being set apart into God's family. That's basically equivalent to justification. There's a present tense sanctification, which is being set apart as we hear the Word of God and follow the Word of God. There's also a future type of sanctification, which we also call glorification. When we're given glorified bodies, we're made like Christ, etc. And in Hebrews, he's emphasizing past tense sanctification.
Yes, the verb is used that way in the book of Hebrews. Past, passive, tense, right. God has made us holy.
Last verse, and we might have to talk more about it next episode, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Are you telling me that's not talking about heaven and hell? Isn't perdition hell? Isn't the saving of the soul going to heaven?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's not talking about that. The word perdition can mean that in Greek, but it can also mean the destruction of your life, the destruction of property. And his point is simply, if you draw back, then you will experience great loss. And we've talked about that in the discipline of God and also at the judgment seat of Christ.
Or maybe what it means is if you draw back, you'll die.
That certainly would
be. But if you endure, you will live.
Yeah.
And this is the common theme of saving of the soul in the Old and New Testament, which really could be translated saving of the life.
Mark 8:34-38, for example.
Yes. A lot of people think saving of the soul means going to heaven. No, saving of the soul means I'm saving my life.
Yes.
We see that all through James. Mm-hmm.
Great discussion, guys. We're going to have to continue this next episode. Tune in as we continue our series, Going Through Hebrews, Partners with Christ.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on an enduring possession. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to look at an amazing list of examples of those who live by faith. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.